Sefanya Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes. We are talking about the hypocrites among even the seemingly observant Jewish people. Ufakarti al kol hadoleg al hamiftan bayomahu. And on that day, on the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment, I will visit upon everyone who leaps over the threshold. So those who follow, Targum Yonason says, the Minhagei Plishtim, they wouldn't step on the threshold of Dagon. They would always step over it. But that's the famous story of in the Navi Shmuel, where the idol of Dagon, the head and the hands are chopped off and left on the threshold, and they made that part of their religious observance. Instead of taking the severed parts as proof that the idol has no power, instead they would step over it and sanctify it. They would somehow defile it by stepping on the threshold. So Klal Yisrael is jumping over the threshold. They're jumping the broom to show how much they adore the Avodah Zarah. So we're going back to an ancient Avodah Zarah, Dagon, even as we're talking about Baal. The names change, but the worship of idols remains the same. Hamimmaleim beis adonehem chamas u'mirma. Those who fill their master's house with chamas, with violence and deceit. So in those days, they are full of violence and deceit, even in, Rabbi Mendel Hirsch suggests, even in their master's house, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even populated by people who are full of violence and deceit, people breaking into houses to plunder. So he suggests it might be tax collectors or people who work for the authorities and use it to despoil poor, vulnerable people who have nothing they can do to stop them. Yud v'haya b'yom ahun u'm Hashem, and it will be on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, kol tza'aka mishar hadagim, a loud cry, plaintive cries from the fish gate. So the fish gate may be literally where the people from Tzur traded in fish, the northern walls of Yerushalayim. Maybe it's a later gate that was added. Interesting comment about this fish gate. That we know we have Damascus Gate and the other gates of the old city. There was a fish gate, water gate, fish gate. Vila la min ha-mishneh. And there'll be a whale from the second gate as well. Apparently, there was a bird gate right next to the fish gate, Rashi says. But there's going to be screaming and wailing all over. V'shever gadol mehagiva'os, and great destruction from the hills. Yerushalayim is surrounded by hills, and we know that there's going to be tremendous destruction now coming. The fish gate, the fowl gate. Some say these two gates are opposite ends of the city, so the enemy's penetrating from both sides. Yeralef heililu yoshvei ha-machtesh. Whale inhabitants of Machtesh, that's the Kidron Valley, very deep, like a machtesh, like a mortar, you know, like the mortar and pestle. The pestle is the thing you use to smash things. The mortar is a kind of deep keli that you smash in. So this is the Valley of Kidron. Whale, whale, ki nidma kol am Kina'an. The entire people of Kina'an is cut off. Interesting that we're now the people of Kina'an. The Mefarshim don't talk about that, but it sounds like we're acting like Kina'an. Oh, no, Rabbi Mendel Hirsch does talk about it. You yourselves have gone from Am Hashem to Am Kina'an, from being a people of God to being a people of Kina'an. This is the bitterest reproach. It marks the whole depths of their situation. Kina'an is Canaanite degradation and the low mind of the peddler or small trader, the Kina'anim, the merchants, but they peddle garbage. Chinese knockoffs. Nichrasu kol netilei chosef. All those laden with silver have been cut off. So all you cared about was your silver and your money and your property, your burden of silver and gold. Everything. All of it was meaningless when the day of judgment comes. And this is not some mythical Christian day of judgment that's in the far-flung future that never happens. This is the Korban. Yudbeis v'haya bo'is ha'hiya chapeis Es Yerushalayim Baneros. It'll come to pass on that day, I will search Yerushalayim with candles. Like Bedikas Chametz, where you search very, very carefully to find whatever it is that you're looking for. In this case, I'm looking for all of the chet. And Ibn Ezra says you can search inner recesses like closets with candles. So I'm searching in your heart. I'm searching inside you. Ufokadati al-Huan Hashim ha-kof im al-Shim rehem. And I will visit upon the men who are settled on their shemarim, on their lees, on the bottom of the wine. So they're living peacefully in wealthy homes on Bedford Avenue, like wine that settles in its jar and is undisturbed and sits there just fine. Well, guess what? You're settled, kofim, like floating. Ha'omrim bilavavam lo yitiv Hashem v'lo yoreya. And they say in their hearts, as we mentioned before, Hashem doesn't do good or bad. God doesn't do anything. He doesn't help those who obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't hurt those who do evil. He doesn't have any control. There is no God. Well, no, there is a God, but he doesn't do anything. Chas v'shalom. The idea of the Christian theology had a whole conversation about this a couple hundred years ago, about the clockmaker, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the person who makes a clock and winds it up and then lets it tick by itself. Neutral. Yigimel v'haya chelem l'mishisa. Their wealth is going to become spoils, but going to become booty, going to be taken away. It's all going to be taken away from them. Uvatehem l'shmama, their fine castle-like McMansions are going to be absolutely destroyed and become ruins. Uvan uvatim v'lo yeshevu. They'll build houses, they'll never get to live in them. There's a house on my corner owned by a contractor who is doing the work as slowly as it could humanly ever be imagined because he only does it between his other gigs because he's got paying jobs. So he's building it, but nobody's living in it. And this contractor, I'm sure a fine person, but he doesn't recall these psukim about what happens. And we've seen this before several times. You're going to build houses and never get to live in them. They're going to plant vineyards and never drink their wine. So you're always thinking about the future. You're planning. I'm in a whole discussion about this, about retirement funds and everything. And we all talk about our retirement funds like we're all going to get to benefit from them someday. I have a huge pension. Baruch Hashem. I've been working 34 years in the same place. But only God knows what's going to happen in terms of me ever being able to spend it. You don't know. You don't know. And these people, unfortunately, who are wealthy and comfortable and like wine settling in its cask without having to worry about anything, they're never going to get to see the benefits of everything they've been salting away for lo these many years.